In this episode of the TWBC podcast, we talk to one of the best women slalom skiers in Europe. We've got Beatrizia Jani next.
The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and we have a rather special guest here who comes to us from Italy. She is one of the best female slalom skiers in Europe, and looking to defend a bronze medal in the Open European Championships, or maybe climb a step or two higher. It is none other than Italy's Beatrizia Jani. How are you doing?
Ciao Tony. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, the problem that I've had with you for the last few years is my ability to actually pronounce your name. So
yeah, we all know about it.
Try now. Everyone knows about it except me. Beatrizia.
No.
Beatrice.
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 Yeah.
Beatrice. Yeah. There
Beatrice.
We go. All right then. Okay. Yeah. That's the humorous side of this. of this.
You know, because it's even similar to Alice. It's the end. It's quite similar. Beatrice, Alice.
Okay. Beatrice, Alice.
Yeah.
There you go. That works. All right then, so, Bea.
Here we are.
Here we are at the Open European Championships. We're here in Ricetto. We're a good ways away from where you typically ski, right? You're skiing over in Spelunga.
Yeah, skiing in Spelunga, it's almost 6 hours driving. Well, 6 hours from Rome, because I live in Rome. Uh-huh. But I ski in Spelunga, so it's 7 hours driving, yeah.
7 hours driving. Yeah. Okay, that's still a fairly long hike. That's like the equivalent of driving from, I don't know, Houston to Orlando. I don't know what is it.
I have no idea.
Okay, from Baton Rouge to Orlando is about 12 hours. So let's just say if you wanted to travel from like Alabama or maybe Santa Rosa Beach to Orlando, Florida, it's about that length.
You know? I think so.
And we make reference to Alabama because that's where you'll be skiing in a few weeks' time, I believe. Yes.
Yeah, at Malibu Open. Yeah, I signed up 2 weeks ago. I really can't wait to ski there.
You just signed up 2 weeks ago, huh?
Yeah.
You didn't have any intention to ski in it at the beginning of the season?
Well, at the very first beginning of the season, I wasn't thinking about that many pro events. But after the Swiss Pro, where I skied really good, even better than I was skiing in practice. So I was pumped.
Okay.
And the Pro Tour in Europe went pretty good for me, so... Yeah.
You're trying to get those points back, aren't you, on the Water Ski Pro Tour?
Yeah, I'm having so much fun this year. Like, it's more about fun than, you know, proper results or... I mean, results are coming just because I'm having fun. That's what I think.
Yeah, and it's probably those American guys as well. That's probably what's making you come over as well. Yeah. I don't know. But then you've got the Mastercraft beforehand,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Mastercraft Pro. And after the Malibu, there's going to be the Traverse Grand Prix.
Yeah, so you got three events in the United States, you know, in one pretty much one after the other.
Yeah.
And so I mean, you ski pretty well at the Swiss, but I mean after one event, it's pretty hard to make a determination or a kind of epiphany to say, you know, I skied well here. Maybe I should chance my luck towards the end of the season here. You know, it's
no. You know, like after. I mean, I didn't got through finals at Swiss Pro, but I ran 11 right away in the first round. 7 uh-huh. like 8 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, nice!
Even earlier. I don't remember when we started. What time we started?
7.
Yeah, 7. So yeah, at 7. a.m. And before that tournament, even back home, I wasn't running in 11 like that often. So I was like, okay.
which seems rather strange, because like the water in Spelunga runs pretty deep. It's like open water.
Yeah.
And Swiss tends to run a little bit, doesn't it? Or do you find differences?
Well, back at home in that period, it was very, very cold. The water was cold.
So that mitigated it.
It wasn't easy to ski. That's why I wasn't sure about me going to the US for a tournament, but then turned out quite good.
Okay. So, you got to Swiss, you got through 11.25 minutes. I don't think you didn't place in the final or anything. But then you had some decent results in Europe. I mean, you went to San Gervasio, and then I
went first to Bottas Pro. Ended up fourth.
For all?
In the prelims, I did 2:10.75.
Mm-hmm.
In San Gervasio, I got third. Third in Greece too, and third in UK as well.
Tell us how manic it was in Caiaphas.
It was great. It was crazy. I really loved the tournament. Like the vibes were nice. Like it was a good vibe.
Yeah, indeed. Kind of like that nightclub feel with like the EDM music in the background.
I can remember you were dancing. Shake a leg.
oh, don't spread the word too much. People will.
I have the video.
Yeah. Everyone has the video. everyone's gonna be convinced that I'm a party type dude, which is from the truth.
You look like a party one.
Oh, do I now? Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm flattered. Anyway, so we got past Bottas, San Gervasio, and Caiaphas.
The duel.
And the duel as well. You ski pretty well on that one too.
Yeah, it was another. I mean, I don't want to say weird, but it was different. It was a different tournament skiing like next to the other in the four boys course.
Yeah,
but it was pretty exciting actually.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, so it really was a departure in format. I mean, you had head to head, like pure head to head, where you had one skier against the other.
Yeah.
How did that affect you so far as peripheral and spatial vision? Because, I mean, if you're skiing on the left side course, which I think you skied on at least one round, you're going through the entrance gates and you're seeing the behind of the other skier on the right-hand side, or does your peripheral vision really extend that far?
Well, actually, like for me, it was like more in practice than in the actual tournament. Like I was looking the girl next to me. She was starting like way earlier than me for the gate.
Yeah.
And it was like disturbing me. Like, why is she, what did she start?
What she's doing.
But then the course, it's, you don't even look.
So you kind of like locked in and you just try to keep like the blinders on like the horses. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I mean, you positioned yourself well enough. You said you got fourth in that one, didn't you?
Not third.
Third in that one. Yeah. I beg your pardon. So then after that, did you take a little bit of a break? Or
I took 5 days of holiday, like 5 days just relaxing, and then skiing again, because I came here for a tournament, and the week after we had the nationals, and I skied pretty good there in San Gervasio.
Yeah.
And then I went back home, trained for Europeans. And now I'm here.
And now you're here at the Europeans, at a home site.
Yeah.
Yes. A home site in respect to like national home site.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But I mean, this is where we used to ski when we were kids, so when we are with the national team, or if we have to do like Europeans or Worlds somewhere else, we all come here to ski all together.
Yeah.
So we know this place.
Yeah, I'm just trying to visualize you skiing as like a little youngster, wee back in the day, in like the Three Nations junior tournaments, with France and Great Britain, and then the junior Europeans and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yes. And I mean, I can also imagine the site not being nearly as complete as it was then compared to today.
Yeah, so. No, it was different.
Yeah.
But
having said all of that, Ricchetto hasn't always treated you kindly.
As I told you earlier, I knew you were you would talk about this. But yeah, in the Europeans 2012,
I think it was 11, wasn't
11.
It? 11. I don't remember. Or 12, whichever one. I think it was 11.
Yeah, I had a pretty bad crash. I can say it was a crash.
Yeah.
And my shoulder came out. I had a broken bone in the shoulder. And yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, it was pretty horrific.
But actually, the video on the YouTube got like so many views. Like, and
it's probably
for 2011. It was a lot of views.
Yeah,
like a lot.
Yeah, and it probably still encompasses a lot of videos.
Yeah.
And you can actually go back to the TWBC YouTube spot to actually see it under the brutal falls and crashes.
Oh, really?
Yes, you can. You can actually go back, and there's also the raw video as well of every performance in the mm-hmm. women's slalom finals. And I mean, the circumstances behind them it was just freak, because you had like an insect.
A dragonfly
just hit you in the eye.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you were down course, and you tried to make up time off 5 into 6. And
yeah.
And that's when.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that.
No.
Not now.
No. We won't go yeah. beyond that. But
on Monday we can talk about it, like, for
yeah.
how long.
Yeah, ad nauseum. But as a result of that, I mean, a decade later, you're still dealing with that to the
yeah.
point where you're having to change your handle.
Yeah,
grip.
But it's not about the I mean, yeah, but after that, the shoulder got recovered, but still, I still have some problems. But I think from that, I started having problems with my elbow, the same arm.
So and it just manifested itself
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I got a really bad tendinitis, which I didn't heal at all.
Uh-huh.
I kept like skiing and skiing. So until I couldn't ski anymore because the pain was too much.
Excruciating.
Yeah, so I tried different kind of therapies, even surgery didn't work at all. So the only way was to, you know, focus on the gym and switch the handle grip. Yeah, and now it's I mean, the pain sometimes it comes back, but it's not that hard, so I can ski. And I think for me it has been like a good thing in a way to not properly skiing for a couple of years.
Yeah,
because now, as I told you earlier, I ski more for because I'm having fun.
Oh yeah.
Instead of just, I have to ski,
you
know.
You got to get to a certain point, otherwise
yeah.
you...
Yeah, I do it because I really like it and I enjoy skiing no matter what, no matter how it goes. I mean, of course, when the results comes, I'm always
then,
happy.
Yeah, yeah, and,
but,
that, and that's
know.
Very, very palpable.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, indeed, you know, and I mean, you took some time off, took some rest away. I mean, I can imagine you as someone who doesn't normally sit still. You have to be doing something. So, what were you doing in that hiatus from skiing, which was about 2-3 years out of the sport?
Yeah,
right?
Well, before the elbow injury, let's say injury, I was working with my dad in his agency, but then.
What kind of agency?
He's an architect, and I was like helping him out, and even my brother Matteo. But after that, like, because I could ski, you know, whenever I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But when I couldn't ski anymore, I was like, I don't want to do this now.
Yeah.
So in university, I studied graphic design. So I started my small own business with a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine. Agnese.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and we work in social media. We manage some agencies' pages, and we do websites. That's
okay.
Digital stuff.
Oh, the old digital
yeah.
media. Yes,
yeah.
that's becoming very, very popular and extremely crucial these days
yeah.
for a lot of businesses that want to try and appeal to, I don't know, the younger generation, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That's the basic now.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yeah, you'll probably plug this podcast in there in amongst there, you know.
Yeah.
For those who understand English anyway, but But anyway, yeah. So back after a hiatus, you might made the decision to switch handle grips and that kind of stuff. I mean, was it fairly soon afterwards, or were you contemplating that before you got back in?
I'm sorry, what?
Were you considering doing that? Coming out of hiatus, you said, if I'm going to ski, then I'm going to do this pain-free. And if it requires me to switch my handle grip to go in right hand up instead of left hand up.
Well, after the surgery, I had at the elbow. Right after that, I had to do some physiotherapy. And when I started again skiing, I immediately started with the other hand.
Yes.
Yeah, and I tried once to switch again, but it was hurting. It was hurting a bit. So no. Sometimes Davide, my coach in Sperlonga, he asked me to try, but I don't want to.
Absolutely. So how does that affect you so far as stance and how you ride on the slalom ski? Because you know, I'll tell you this story. Several years ago, for as long as I can remember, I'm left foot forward. And I had my left hand up, always. Yep. No, not because of any injury or anything, but that's exactly the opposite of what you do. Your right foot forward, your right hand up as a result of the injury.
Yep.
Before that, you skied left hand up, right foot forward. I'm, without confusing too many people...
For the listeners, I'm very confused at the moment. I'm like... Yeah, turning my hands.
So am I, as a matter of fact. Okay, but I started
also
out...
Also, you were skiing in your wrong... Yeah, let's say wrong.
Wrong grip from right from the start.
Okay,
and I actually feel comfortable. It really did. You know, and then Chris Sullivan came along to try legs and said, you know what? You're skiing with the wrong hand up. You need to try it with the right hand up. And it felt good for a little while, but you know, once you've been skiing a certain way for that long, even if it's wrong, it's very hard to switch to what people perceive to be right. You know? And I'm guessing that kind of affected you a little bit too, so far as your positioning and how you ski from a tactical point of view.
Well, if you think about it, like either way, it's weird. Like in going one way or not on the other or the other.
Yeah.
So now for me, it's easier to pull going to 1.35.
Uh huh.
And it's harder to pull going to 2, 4, and 6.
And I can tell that as well because, I mean, I watched you a little bit earlier on today trying to going through 14 and 13 and then 12 going up. And you seem to come up a little narrow on the inside of the buoy as you initiate your edge change into 2, 4,
well,
and 6.
Well, this morning I didn't ski as I wanted to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I think it's because even today I was feeling a bit weak on my shoulder. And I think that's when I'm not strong, I can't pull like 100% in with this grip.
Yeah.
You know?
I got you.
Yeah. So, but I think it's just like you have to just train, ski, and get used to it, and then it's like normal after a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like now, thinking of switching again, like for me, it's weird.
Yeah. And even the whole notion of just switching from one hand to the other, you know, with
you can try
with your hands above the desk, in the course, you know, exactly. Yeah, it almost like you're shaking maracas.
Yeah,
no, a little bit, you know.
Yeah, little maracas.
Yeah. All right then. So we delved a little bit into your skiing. What about your professional life? Because you're a graphic designer. You mentioned that. So how long have you been in that game for?
Now it's 4 years.
4 years.
4 years.
What were you doing before that?
Yeah, I told you I used to work with my dad and my brother.
Oh yeah, in the agency. Yeah,
yeah.
The architectural agency.
Yeah.
What was that whole situation like? You know, you had to come into the office all dressed up.
No, I didn't have to.
No, you didn't.
I mean, I didn't care. Like I mean.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
My pajama. No, that's not true. Not true. But no, nothing like serious, just normal clothes.
Yes, indeed. Just, well, not normal to us, you know, would be like, you know, totally foreign to everyone else, you know, I guess. But but it's all good. So we got here at the European Championships, got a whole bunch of tournaments, and And I mean, you must have had a good support system to actually get you from where you were to where you are. Manuel Domini, you actually mentioned a little bit ago. How important has he been to your success and giving you the confidence to go out there and, you know, and give it your best shot?
Like earlier, I mentioned Davide, who's the Manuel's dad, father, yeah. Uh-huh. but Manuel is. He's been a great supporter as well, because I ski at their lake, and uh-huh. David is my coach, and Manuel drives there.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Manuel is a great driver.
Of course he is. Yeah.
So like having
actually one of the rising stars, you know, among the young drivers coming
he's
up.
He's a really good driver, and you know, skiing with a good driver, great coach, and we've been friends forever, Manuel and I. So it's very important to have that for me in my life. And yeah, and Davide is like very supportive, like with me. Sometimes I have like a kind of breakdowns, mm-hmm. like, you know, when you don't ski really good,
just like completely emotionally spent off the water and like, yeah. and like bawling, I can't do this, you know,
it's more like, Davide, we have a problem.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah. I can't ski anymore. Like, I don't know how to ski anymore. And he's like very patient.
It's like the shanks in golf, you know. You're hitting golf ball after golf ball,
you know.
straight as an arrow, and then you hit one ball and then you hit they all go yeah. off in all kinds of directions.
I think everybody knows this sport.
Yes.
This sport is like a roller coaster, up and downs, you know.
Yeah, it can get very, very frustrating,
yeah, so
at times.
So having Davide and Manuel, it's very important for me. Even now, if I have something like going on in my mind before a tournament, I text them, both of them. And so, yeah. I mean, other than them, of course, my family, my brother, Marina, and my dad. Yeah. Who's coming? My father is coming for the Europeans.
How exciting is that? You know, because I mean, I spoke to Thomas a little bit earlier on. You know, obviously that situation's playing out in probably one of the saddest situations. That,
yeah.
You know, going into these championships, but you said that your parents are coming along to watch.
Yeah.
You know, given that context, how good is it to have them here watching you ski on Europe's premier stage?
Well, I think it's because he's the one I speak to for me, and like I think for Thomas too, like for like our dads introduce us to water skiing, you know. So having them, it's like very important. I think Thomas knows that,
yeah.
Marco is watching from you know, wherever he is.
Yes.
And he's going to be proud of him. And even my father, my dad, I think every parents, they're going to be proud no matter what. Even if you win or not, it's just we're here as Europeans.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's very important.
Yes, indeed. I mean that goes on to another question, okay? I mean you're a member of the Italian team. Kind of give us a sense, a little bit of vibe and a little bit of the mood of that team going forward, taking recent circumstances and events going forward, especially in respect to Thomas.
You know, I'm sorry, I'll get a bit emotional about this.
Of course.
But it's very important to support each other, because other than teammates, we are friends. You know, I told him like it's very important to be able to. I mean, for him to stay with people that loves him and people that who loved and loves his dad, and so we are all together. We're a team and we're a family.
Yes, and that demonstrates a lot of the unity within the Italian team. You know, because I mean, you're from Rome. Most of the other team members, a good portion of them, are in the northern part of the country. There is a huge cultural disparity between those in the south, those in the middle, and those from the north. So how does that play out as members of the Italian team are kind of spread across those cultural lines?
Well, you know, like we grew up together, so it's just like there is no difference. It's like we're just like, I think water skiing is a culture. It's like goes beyond all these things.
All of that mess,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think even if we don't see each other during the winter or stuff like that, we're just like a big family.
All right then. So beyond the end of the ski season, I mean, you're going to ski at the Mastercraft, the Malibu, and the Traverse, right?
Yeah.
And then you'll return home.
Yeah.
And then you're planning for the whole festivities. And I mean, I don't know too much about what goes on in Italy during the festive season. I'm English and I live in America now, and it's all like very, very big and very bright and very gaudy, you know, and just, you know, what is it like for you, you and your family, you know, celebrating the festive?
Christmas time?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I've never been a big fan of Christmas.
Okay.
Like, yeah. But the only thing that I like is the dinner. The dinner we have the day before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like I have a big family. I don't know if you know it. We are five kids.
I know your brother at least, but I don't know the other three.
I have three sisters.
Three sisters?
I think I'm sure you met my sister Valentina. She's she comes once in a while to mm-hmm. take some pictures to tournaments. She was at Worlds as well.
Okay. I think I might have met her, yeah.
Yeah. So we're five. My parents split up a long time ago. But still, for Christmas, we're all together. Like my mom and my dad's wife, all my sisters, my brother, my nephews. Like we're... All together,
just like old times.
Yeah, it's a big party, like for me, Christmas, you know, with all my family.
With plenty of limoncello and Chianti and everything that...
Yeah, it's more about like my mom cooking, because my mom is really good at cooking. Not me, but my mom is,
okay.
Yeah.
What's the best you can do culinary-wise?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I can do a great gricia. Gricia is the best pasta ever. Okay. I recommend everyone to try gricia in Rome, of course. But yeah, it's kind of carbonara. I don't know if you know carbonara.
Yeah, I know what carbonara is. Yeah.
But without the egg.
Okay. Well, that doesn't make it a carbonara anymore. That makes it something else, right?
Yeah, it's gricia.
Gricia. Okay.
Gricia.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Well, I mean, when it comes to a festive activity, I mean, all I'm trusted to bring to the party is napkins.
Yeah.
And if they come from Starbucks, so help me. Go to a Jolly Tree. Anyway, so that's pretty much it. And obviously your phone's going off. What are your latest fans?
No, it's my alarm because Betta is taking a nap and she asked me to wake her up.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's actually not a bad opportunity to talk about Betta, your Italian team captain. Yes. Tell us
She's
about her.
She's great. Uh-huh. I love Betta. She's, I know her since I was a kid. And when I was a kid, she was one of the greatest Italian skiers. And I remember when I was probably 13, my dad used to sign me at tournaments as open mm-hmm. and not under 14.
Oh, okay.
Because Matteo was skiing open, and for him, and you know, like kids usually ski on Friday and open skis Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So for him, it was like, no, I don't want to go a day before Bear's gonna ski in with open skiers.
Okay.
So,
or maybe they're trying to cheapen the travel a little bit, where you don't have to do an overnight stay to split your
for
days
him.
Off.
It's not for him. I don't think it's about the money. It's about the time. Like he doesn't want
time
to waste.
Money.
Yeah,
time
yeah.
is money. He's an architect.
Yeah, of course. So I remember me as a kid. I have this image in my mind in the lake in Torino.
Oh, okay.
And I was in the dock. And on the dock with me, there was Elisabetta Galli, Irene Reinstaller, and Marina Mosti.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 13, you know, I was like
starstruck.
Yeah.
What am I doing on this dock with these three skiers?
Yeah. So, I know Betta pretty well. She saw me growing up. And she's a very supportive team captain. She knows exactly what to say to each one of us. Like, you know, I'm a more, like, when I'm on the dock, I like to talk about other things or to be more.
You're
like
more of a free spirit.
Yeah, like we just, I prefer to laugh.
Yes.
Because I get really anxious. But someone else needs like total silence. You know, yeah. Everyone has.
Everyone wants to get in the zone type.
Yeah, and Beta knows everything about everyone, like everyone. And she's great. She's great.
Well, that's good. Well, that's good. So that pretty much puts an end to almost an end to this podcast. One question has come up. I mean, you're 33. And,
yeah.
I mean, and you're skiing like the best skiing that you've done so far. And you've become a little bit of an inspiration to a lot of skiers, not only in Italy, but also beyond the scope of Italian skiing as well. So I mean, what do you say to that a little bit?
Yeah, that's true. Like, I think this is the moment I'm skiing the best, like, mm-hmm. since ever. And it's just because, as I told you earlier, it's more because I'm having fun and I really want to do it. So during the winter, I work out a lot. I focus on my body and my strength. And yeah, like, I think it's all about fun.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is just having fun, like for everything else, just having fun.
And you're not a bad announcer either. I mean, you demonstrated that at Caiaphas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And you were very pessimistic about your abilities as an English speaker. And I can tell you,
yeah,
right,
I'm so bad. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm very bad.
No. Do not
but
be
I'm
sorry.
Having so much fun.
You know, and I mean, your English is absolutely impeccable. So
yeah.
I mean, that much
Tony,
I can tell you.
Yeah. Tony, don't lie, please.
Look. Your English is good. Your English is in some ways better than mine.
No.
I flatter you too much. Anyway.
Yeah, maybe
all
too
right
much.
Then. So we'll wrap up the podcast. Any thanks, any word of thanks, acknowledgement
yeah.
you want
to
say?
I really would like to thank everyone who supports me, and especially my friends back in Rome, and my parents, of course, my dad. And my brother in Marina, Davide and Manuel, like 100%, like hearts for everyone. Thank you. And I'm doing heart with my hands. Nobody can see me, but
there you go.
Tony can.
Yes, I can definitely see that.
And great. I want to thank TWBC and Tony because you are amazing, guys. Like, I really enjoy everything you do. And yeah, that's it.
And whilst I try and cool myself down after I started blushing there, well,
don't blush.
Yeah, that was Beatrice,
bravo.
Beatrice Jani. And this is Tony Lightfoot, your host of the TWBC podcast. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.